Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. We started a new chapter, Kitab al-Da'wat. Da'wat is the plural of da'wah. Da'wah means to call out, pukarna, mangna, to ask, to besiege Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the plural of da'wah is da'wat. And here the first chapter that is brought, Babu Fadl al-Du'a, the chapter on the virtue of making du'a. We explained that there are many, many virtues of making du'a. Just to quickly recap, a person's objectives are fulfilled through the making of dua. One is rewarded for every dua that one makes. So therefore a person shouldn't become disappointed, he shouldn't be despondent that the duas that I'm making are not being answered. Because for every dua that a person is making, a person is getting rewarded. So this is a sign that Allah Pak is enjoying this person's asking. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is listening to his asking. Allah is enjoying, Allah Pak is enjoying his asking. So therefore a person is getting rewarded for every dua that he makes. So sometimes the longer that he's making dua, he feels a bit sad in his heart, but he should think about it this way, that Allah Pak is listening to me, Allah Pak is rewarding me. It's the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is delaying in what I am asking for. The next benefit is the ta'alluq and the connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is strengthened when one makes dua. The next thing is one becomes humble through dua, person besieging and asking. It brings humility in a person. When a person is in his business, when he's in his factory, when he's in his shop, or whichever field of business he is, generally a person is used to giving instructions. Do it like this, do it like that, and do it like this. So a person generally is giving commands. So the person is making dua, now he's asking and he's besieging and he's crying before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So now there's a different way of speaking, there's a different approach, and this brings about humility in a person. It brings about inkisari and inability, something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becomes pleased with the one that asks from him. After all, we are looking for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is dua, such a great weapon we have. Very often we forget about dua and we look at other things and our mind goes through all other means. But this is a great means, is a great wasila, is a great way of asking and taking from the treasures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is by means of dua. So the hadith we did yesterday, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Ad-du'a'u huwa al-ibadah." That supplication, this dua, it in itself is worship. So therefore when a person is making dua, don't think that this is not worship. This in itself is also ibadah. Like how a person takes out time and he reads salah, he takes out time and he goes for hajj. Like that a person should take out time to make dua, because dua in itself is also ibadah. We shouldn't think that this is not something else from ibadah, it's besides ibadah. This in itself is ibadah. And in one hadith it comes, it is the essence of ibadah. Why? Because a person is now showing his inability, he's showing his weakness in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves this humility. Today's hadith, and Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha qalat, kana Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam yastahibbul jawami'a min al-du'a wa yada'u ma siwa dhalik, rawahu Abu Dawud. Isnadin jayyidin. And Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would like to make dua using very comprehensive words. Very comprehensive du'as he would like. What is meant by this? That words that are small but very deep in meaning. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would like du'as like that. And from the du'as of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we understand how comprehensive, how broad spectrum, how all encompassing the du'as of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam were. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would like to use words like that, that were very deep in meaning. And then he would leave out everything besides that. And one of the reasons why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he liked it and he commanded us also to make du'as, to make du'a with these type of words, is we don't have time to make du'a for each and every nitty gritty. We don't have the time, we don't have that ability, we don't have the mind also, we don't even have that desire in us. So therefore try and make du'a that use broad words that cover everything that the person requires. Covers everything. We find this hadith, next hadith that is coming now. And Anas radiallahu anhu qal, kana aktharu du'a in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then Anas radiallahu anhu says that the most frequent du'a of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was, Allahumma atina fi dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasana wa qina azab al-nar, muttafaqun alayh. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam make this du'a, O Allah, grant us good in this world and good in the year after and save us from the fire of Jahannam. What a comprehensive du'a. Grant us good in this world means everything that is good for a person in this world. O Allah Pak, grant us this. This was the most frequent dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ulama say it includes a pious spouse, it includes good children, it includes good company, it includes good actions, it includes a good job, it includes an easy income, it includes good health, it includes everything that a person will require and everything that a person needs as far as the good of this world is concerned, is included in this dua. What an easy dua. Allahumma atina fi dunya hasana. Normally we are used to reading Allahumma Rabbana atina fi dunya hasana. Either way, the meaning is very similar, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us good in this world, wa fil akhirati hasana, grant us good in the year after. What that means, save us from the fear of hashar, save us from the difficulty of the day of qiyamah, save us from the hardships of the day of qiyamah, save us from the difficulty that a person and fear that a person will experience even in qabr, save us from all types of hardship and difficulty, O Allah. And it also means that grant us jannah. Atina fi dunya hasana, grant us the goodness of the year after, means save us from all those fears and all those hardships and tribulations and grant us jannah. What a beautiful dua. In a small few words, or just in a few words, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is teaching us such a powerful dua. Waqina adhab an-nar, and this is more for emphasis. Wallah subhanahu wa ta'ala, save us from the fire of Jahannam. Save us from that fire, that blazing fire, which is much, much more severe than the fire of this dunya. Something that is dangerous in this world, how careful we are about taking precautions, how careful we are to warn our children, how careful we are to see that it doesn't cause any harm to others. So imagine the fire of Jahannam, how much more precautions we need to take for the fire of Jahannam, that fire that will engulf, and so many people will be consumed by the fire on the day of Qiyamah. So therefore we should make dua. This is amongst the precautions of saving ourselves from the fire of Jahannam, is making dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saves us from that fire of Jahannam. زاد مسلم في رواية قال وكان أنس كان إذا أراد أن يدعو بدعوة دعا بها وإذا أراد أن يدعو بدعاء دعا بها فيه. The narrator of this hadith was Hazrat Anas radiallahu anhu, the personal khadim of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Now what was his practice? Imagine here, this first part of the hadith, he was quoting and saying that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, this was his practice, that the dua that he would make most frequently was Allahumma atina fi dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasana wa qina adhab an-nar. Now he is the narrator of the hadith, the sahabi. Look at his practice. Look how close the love they had and the affection they had for the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. They were not prepared to leave the sunnah out for anything. That if they saw that something was sunnah, they would make it a point of following that sunnah 100%. Yeah, now he heard the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is mentioned in the riwayat of Muslim Sharif that Hazrat Anas radiallahu anhu, that when he wanted to make dua, he wanted to make one dua. He wanted to make one dua. He just wanted to make one dua. Then he would make this dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And when he wanted to make more than one dua, then he would always include this dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in those many duas that he would make. But he would not exclude. He would always include this dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Can we see the close affinity that these people had with the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Nothing could come, or nothing should come in the way where they must leave out even that practice in the way Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made his dua. Can you imagine how much more careful they were as far as the method and the way Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam performed his salah? The way and the method Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam dealt with people, his akhlaq, his style, his love, his affection, everything, they made it part of their life. Yesterday we did one hadith in Abu Dawud Sharif. Then Hazrat Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, he mentioned that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that how I wish that one door of the masjid be left for the woman to enter. These were the words. It comes that it either mawquf, or this was actually the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hazrat Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu is narrating that this is what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that how I wish that one door of the masjid be left for the woman to enter. Now we all know that if one door is left for the woman to enter, at times other than salah time, if a man were to enter from there, there is no problem, because nobody else, there is no woman that are using that door. It is just a pathway to use to enter. There wouldn't be any difficulty or problem if anybody at any other time used it. This was one desire expressed by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But it comes that Hazrat Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, he never entered the door right up till the day he died. And until he passed away, he didn't enter, he didn't use that door at all. Why? Because Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, how nice if that door could be left for the woman to enter. Why should I even go against that desire of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by using that door at another time also? Let me not even use that door. Even at another time, He never entered from that door at all until the day he died to make ittiba of the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah Pak also give us the love of the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Subhanallah bihamdi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. Wa salamun al mursaleen. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.